Welcome to the home of Blood, Sweat, and Words, a podcast that empowers writers. My name is Joanne Carson. I'm a fiction and nonfiction author, blogger, and podcaster, and I'm trying to make sense of the writing world today. My weekly show is current, relevant, and above all, honest. Join me, and we'll talk it to the bone. That's what Blood, Sweat, and Words is all about. Today, I'm talking with Julie Howard about building writing communities. But before we go there, a few notes from myself. This has been a really exciting time for me, an exciting week, I should say. First, I was recorded by Crystal Hunt. It's the first time I've been interviewed, and it was an interesting experience being on the other side of the mic, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I got to talk about things that are important to me, such as my writing and my podcast, and Crystal, or also CJ, she's called, was just a wonderful host. It was a really good experience. And the other thing was, and drum roll here, I did a recording with Kevin Tumlinson. And this man is really big in our industry. He's a well-published, renowned author. He writes sort of Indiana Jones type thrillers. And he's also a blogger and a podcaster. He's got the Word Slinger podcaster, which brings in thousands of listeners every week. And on top of all of that, he's the head of marketing at Draft to Digital, the biggest, I would say, free aggregate to distribute books for indie publishers. And so I had a lot to talk to him about, and he was so generous with his time. And the episode is wonderful. It won't air until January, and I find this hard, the delay between when I'm really excited because I've just finished the episode and when it actually goes out to air, but that's the process. So it's been a great week here. Meanwhile, in my writing loft, I've sent out my nonfiction book called Podcasting for Authors to my editor, Philip. He lives in Australia, and it'll be returned in a week or so. And I'm actually looking forward to the pages of edits because I'm really excited about this book. It's encapsulated all that I've learned in the last 3 months and all my research. And yeah, I'm really excited about that. My latest release is Murder for Christmas. Murder for Christmas by Joanne Carson. Agatha Christie meets the House of Usher. When codebreaker Madison Rathbone gets an all-expense-pay trip to a remote island in the Pacific Northwest the week before Christmas, she expects a peaceful getaway from the fake Santas in the city and the drama of her family's turkey feast. But Dead Man's Island offers no such sanctuary. Trapped in a maze of secrets, scandals, and murder, with a side of ghost, Maddie struggles to make sense of it all. Macabre stories of gruesome deaths on the estate go back centuries. Her logical mind refuses to believe in legends, but there's no reasonable explanation for what's going on around her. It's a gothic suspense for Christmas. And now, without further ado, let's get on to our episode with Julie Howard. Welcome to episode 14. Today I'm talking with Julie Howard about building writing communities. Julie has a rich and varied background in writing. Let me tell you a bit about her before we begin. She's a former journalist. She worked as a reporter and editor for publications such as the Las Vegas Review-Journal and the Sacramento Bee, and she wrote for a national news service and magazines. In her reporting life, she interviewed Oscar winners, Emmy winners, and top business executives. She also did political writing for three governors in Idaho. Then came book writing. Julie Howard worked as a ghostwriter for a former Hewlett-Packard executive who wanted his memoirs written. Her first published book, Crime and Paradise, was released in August 2017 by the Wild Rose Press. She's a member of Idaho's Writers Guild and founder of the Boise chapter of, get this, Shut Up and Write. And that brings us to our topic today, building writing communities. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, Joanne. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's just such a pleasure to talk to you. Now, you have to tell me, this Shut Up and Write, that's such an interesting name. Tell me about that group.
Oh, yeah. Now, I would love to have come up with that name, but it's not originally mine. I found out about Shut Up and Write when I lived in California. And it's an international organization with about 30,000 members in about a dozen countries.
Wow.
It's a big organization. And, you know, I'll tell you why I really like them. They have a method of getting writers to write that I really love. I think what writers do most of is not write. You know, we think about writing and we talk about writing and we plan to write, but it's really hard, I think, for a lot of people, including myself, at times, to sit down and actually get writing. So when I first found out about Shut Up and Write, I was living in California and I was looking for a writing group because I wanted to write a novel. And I saw this group on Meetup, which is an online platform. Uh-huh. And so I showed up, and what they said they were was exactly what it sounds like. You show up, you chat for a bit with the people you meet, but then, you know, you bring your own computers or your workbook or whatever, and you work on your own project. You shut up and write for an hour. And it's a very easy in to getting started as a writer, because you think you show up, it's only going to be an hour long. What can go wrong? You know, if you can't, if you're really not, if you're right, if you have a block in writing, you're only going to be sitting there for an hour anyway. And the first time I showed up, I don't think I had written in months. You know, because I found it very difficult to focus at home. There were a lot of distractions there. So, you know, but I showed up with my computer and the hour flew by and I had a couple pages written. Now that doesn't sound like much. And the next week I went back, it was only 1 hour. I wrote a couple more pages, but before I knew it, I was writing a little bit longer than that. You know, I go home and I write a little bit and then I go back for another session. Well, anyway, a couple years later I had a book written.
Wow. And mostly from those sessions?
Mostly from those sessions. You know, through the sessions, I met some other writers. We would get together offline and do some more writing time together. You know, I'd go home and I'd do some writing. Really what it did is it gave me the motivation, a little bit of inspiration to continue writing. And, you know, once you put some words down on a page, all of a sudden your story builds and you start thinking about it more. You want to write it down, you know, and so on. So, you know, when we decided to move back to Idaho, leaving California, there were a lot of things I was going to miss about California, but the number one thing I knew I was going to miss was my writing group. So I contacted the Shut Up and Write organization and said, hey, I would really love to start this group here. You know, Boise's about 700,000 people. I really knew there was a pretty strong writing community here already and that it would support a Shut Up and Write group. So anyway, launched the chapter here, and we have about 200 members.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. There's, you know, we have screenwriters and novelists, students working on their master's degrees, comic book writers, just people of all walks of life trying to get their writing done. You know, and it's great interacting with them because you meet, for instance, a comic book writer, and it triggers something else in your imagination, you know, as a novelist, that takes you off on a different path. It gives you another, it opens up another door for you. Not that I want to be a comic book writer, but that it, just their way of thinking, their imagination, you know, it opens up another door for me to follow up on, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I find if I'm writing in a group, there is a synergy to it. You hear everyone's fingers moving and people are all focused on their stories and there's something about it. I think it's synergistic. There's an energy there that helps propel you on.
I hear that all the time. People talk about this strange creative energy that's flowing around the room. And, you know, it's hard to put your finger on, but it's really true. It is there.
So the Shut Up and Write, can it be found online? Like if people were interested in starting up their own or finding a group?
You can find it at shutupandwrite.com, and that'll lead you to the main page. Mm-hmm. And then you can find out if there's a Shut Up and Write in your city. To join your own Shut Up and Write, if there is one in your city, you would need to go on Meetup, and then you can find a Shut Up and Write group or groups there. They're in a dozen countries, and wow. I think 72 cities. Mm-hmm. So they're around. And then if you wanted to start your own, you can definitely, there's some contact information online. So you can contact them and see if they would be willing to start one in your town. You know, the nice thing about it is it's free. We don't charge.
Just the space.
It's just the space online. We don't pay any, as chapter individuals, we don't pay any fees to be online on Meetup. There's a private philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying for this. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're promoting the literary arts.
That's lovely. We need more of them.
Definitely.
So it gives you the space to do all your administration. But then when you actually get together to meet, you must have to find libraries and places that are free?
Most of the time we do, because I don't like to limit the group to people that can afford to pay. You know, I like to keep it open to anyone who wants to join. Mm-hmm. So yes, we meet in libraries, we'll meet in cafes. Primarily, people like to have their coffee while they're writing. I know from time to time we've met at a wine bar. That's a little more distracting when you do that. But, you know, that's fun from time to time.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea, just for something different. You know, we have a lot of vineyards in our area, and it might be fun to try that. But I think we'd be thinking about our break a lot.
Right.
Do you see any disadvantages to writing in a group?
It's hard to put my finger on it, but what I will say is this, is that not every group's going to work for every person. It really has to be the right fit. You know, from meetup to meetup, you're going to find a different group of personalities. And even in my own group, from day to day, a different mix of people might be there on any given day. And so, you know, one time the group might be a little more social than what someone is looking for, mm-hmm. or the group may be filled more with published authors, and that could be intimidating for someone who's just looking to put their first words down. You know, you really have to give it a few sessions and then determine if it's the right group for you. You know, I've joined writing groups before where it just wasn't the right fit for one reason or another. And it didn't mean that there was anything wrong with the group itself. It just meant that for whatever reason at that time for me as a writer, it wasn't what I needed. So I think you just really need to know what your goals are in joining, you know, Shut Up and Write or any type of writing group, and, you know, be specific. I mean, really have a reason for why you're going and what you want to get out of it. And if it's not meeting those goals, then, you know, you need to find a different group.
And I think you're so right about that, because some people will join a group and for whatever reason, they're not a fit. And then they give up, and there are other groups out there, and you have to find your own group of people that you feel comfortable with, that you can possibly share ideas with and share space with. It's not one size fits all, but a lot of us find it really helpful to work with other writers.
There's so much you can get from other writers. I mean, it just, you know, writing can be a very lonely business. You know, I spend a lot of time alone in a room making up stories about fictional people, you know, so it can be healthy to get out and talk to other people, but, you know, especially among people who really love the same things that I do. And we don't just write together. We encourage one another and we celebrate when someone gets published.
Oh, great.
And commiserate, you know, when someone gets a rejection letter too. And I've made a number of friends through the writers that I've met. But, you know, more practically, other writers can be a great source of information. You know, we give each other tips on the writing craft and software and publishers and websites and just on and on. And, you know, I think this part surprised me most of all because, you know, there's the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can find out anything you want there. But first you have to even know what to ask.
Yes, yes.
You know, you just, other writers can kind of fill in some of those gaps for you.
And they come up with stuff you didn't even know to ask about, right? Like there's always something new going on and a new way of looking at things and doing things. Have you found critique partners or beta readers within the group?
Not within the Shut Up and Write group. I have three or four distinct writing groups. It makes me sound like a real groupie here, but I do find it very helpful to have these different groups. So I have my Shut Up and Write group, and that's my work group. Uh-huh. I go there and I get my work done, and you know, of course, I meet people there and you know, trade information. But I do have some critique partners, and that's where I'll share just pieces of my work. So, for instance, I have a critique group coming over my house this evening, and I think there's about 9 of us that are going to be here, and 2 of the people will bring some of their work, and we'll go through it and tell them what works and what we think doesn't work, you know, what does work and what doesn't work. And then, you know, at some point it'll be my turn to bring some of my work forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing I like about having a critique group instead of a critique partner is that, you know, from time to time, I really don't know what's going to come forward and whose work I'm going to be reading until I receive it. Mm-hmm. So it could be poetry or nonfiction or, you know, horror, just something different than what I normally would read or write.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets my brain working in a completely different way. And what I like about that is that when I go through and I'm looking at what they're writing and what I like and don't like, it makes me think about the structure more than about the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when I go and I'm working on my own novel, it makes me think, okay, am I doing the same thing that I didn't like in their writing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of makes me parse it apart a little bit more.
Yeah. I heard that from another person I was talking with, that they really find it strengthens their own storytelling, reading other people's stories. And there's something about it, just like you say, it's the structure and you build on it. That's cool.
Oh, definitely.
Now, you've done all kinds of different writing. You've done reporting, you've done ghost writing, and now you're writing novels. Do you have a preference for what kind of writing you do?
Oh, definitely writing novels.
Ah.
You know, it's funny. I've written my entire life. It was my career. You know, I started writing when I was in fourth grade. I wrote my first book. It wasn't very good, but I wrote my first book back then.
Uh-huh.
And but I realized when I was in college that I wasn't going to earn my living off the bat being a novelist. So I went into journalism, and I was very fortunate to write nearly every day of my life, you know, in my career life, and be a writer. But I never felt that I was a writer.
Aww.
I never referred to myself as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, being a writer meant being a novelist. That's mm-hmm. what I really wanted to do. And it wasn't until you know, my kids were grown that I really started writing fiction. And now I think I have three or four books.
That's fantastic. It's so nice to have that time to do what you've always wanted to do.
Oh, it's been a blast.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you mentioned one book in the information you sent me that it sounded so fascinating, but you haven't published it. It's the one that refers to the Second World War and how the Japanese were treated.
Right. It was, it's based on a family story, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based in the Philippines during World War II. And I think it's a story that not a lot of people are aware of, that the same time that Pearl Harbor was bombed, the Japanese also bombed Manila and the Philippines. Oh. And they wanted the Philippines because of its location in the Pacific. It's a very critical location. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they bombed, of course, Pearl Harbor and left, but they bombed the Philippines and stayed. They occupied mm-hmm. the islands until the end of the war. Oh, and there were thousands of Allied civilians that were there, including a number member of my family. So they became prisoners of war. And the stories just haunted me my entire life. I would love to write. Well, I did write the story. Mm-hmm. I think it's a story that's just a little too close to me at this point to let go.
Yes.
Yeah. So the novel is written.
It sounds so fantastic. I mean, so much conflict and so much history and emotion. And
it was fascinating. Just, you know, I read so many war stories. I know so much about World War II right now. But, you know, it's just a part of the world that we really don't hear too much about, you know, over here in the United States.
No, it's quite different. But your other books, your other three books or so are mysteries.
Yes, the first one that was published was Crime in Paradise, mm-hmm. and that was published last year. And then the second one just came out this fall, and that's Crime Times 2. And they're part of the same series that's called Wild Crime. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the middle of writing the third one, and that should come out, I hope, the end of next year.
Fantastic. And the information on the second one, Crime Times 2, is in the show notes for people who want to have a look at it. So what are you working on now? The third one? Or, like, are you in editing right now? Or what are you up to?
Well, I have a couple of pieces that I'm working on. I am midway through the third book in that series. I want to finish that off. The story's just, you know, you get a story in your head and you have to finish it. So I know how this ends and I want to rushing to finish it. But I also I took a short break this summer and I wrote a paranormal mystery.
Ah. And
that was a lot of fun. I've never written that before. So I really love this little story and it's a novella.
Oh, yeah.
It'll come out next May or June, I think. Also with Wild Rose Press. Mm-hmm. And then I have a couple other series that I'm sketching out at the moment. So I have too much to do.
So you have just hit a creative time in your life where it's all coming together by the sounds of it.
I think I can write until the very end here.
That's great. I know the joy of it. And I like writing paranormal because it just seems... I like controlling my world, I guess, and I can create new worlds with it. But I also love mystery. So where can people find you and your books?
Well, I'm online at juliemhoward.com. And my books are basically in any format, anywhere. Paperback, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Kobo. I mean, just they're pretty easy to find.
Mm-hmm. And... that brings us to me asking if you have a favorite drink.
I do have a favorite drink, and it's very definitely a fresh margarita.
Oh, I love them.
And I'll tell you why. It's been my favorite drink for a very long time. They remind me of Mexico, which is one of my favorite places to visit. And my husband proposed there. And
oh.
Over the years... So he proposed there over a margarita.
Oh.
So it was a very romantic setting, very romantic moment. And the both of us just really love margaritas. So we've worked over the years to perfect the best margarita recipe. Uh-huh. And I'll just tell you, whatever your margarita recipe is, I mean, because people do vary them a little bit with different flavors, but the secret really is just fresh, top-shelf ingredients. It really, really makes a difference.
I hate it when they have those mixes. It doesn't taste the same.
I order something else.
Yeah, I guess you have to ask. I should learn that. So what are you reading now?
You know, I just finished this great book called The Stockholm Octavo. Mm-hmm. And it's... It's by Karen Engelman, and I absolutely loved it. It's hard to describe what it is. It's sort of a paranormal, political, historical romance set in Sweden
in the late
1700s. And it's so there's a place and time I know very little about, so I liked reading about it. Mm-hmm. But it's a time when a number of countries, including ours, of course, were undergoing revolutions, and it ties them. It makes you think about what was really going on in the world. There was just a thread of political intrigue that just went through a number of different countries. It really is fascinating.
There's so many good Swedish authors. I assume she's a Swedish author if she's writing about Stockholm. I'm not sure.
I don't know either. She must, because, I mean, her story gets very involved. I don't want to make it sound too political. It really isn't a political novel. Mm-hmm. It's more a paranormal romance, I think.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a final word for us? Our time's coming to an end.
Well, just because we started out talking about building communities, and I always thought that being a writer was a very singular activity, but it really isn't, and it really shouldn't be. There are so many people behind the scenes, from writing groups and editors and my publisher, and it really, I hate to say the village word, but it really does.
It's a good image, though, right? Yeah, go for it. You can use the village.
Yes, exactly. It really does take this village to get a book published. And, I'm just grateful for this whole community of writers and people that bring it all together. You have to use them. You have to use your writing community. You have to build it, find it, and use it, and it really strengthens what you're doing.
Perfect. And that brings our time to a close. Thank you, Julie. It's been great chatting with you. And to my audience, tune in next week for a fascinating discussion with Mary Buckham on multiple streams of income for writers. Thanks for listening. Now it's your turn. What do you think about today's episode? I'd love to hear from you. You can leave comments on my podcast website, bloodsweatandwords.com, or email me directly, bloodsweatandwords@gmail.com. Your input is valuable to me. It helps me create a better show. Want to know more about the podcast? Go to my website, bloodsweatandwords.com, and sign up for my short weekly newsletter, which contains information about the current episode, gives 2 writing tips, and a note about what I'm reading and thinking about. When you sign up, you get a free nonfiction book, How to Write Short Bios. On those darker days, do you ever wonder if your story has any value? I leave you today with these words. Quote, "Writing in a diary is a really strange experience for someone like me, not only because I've never written anything before, but also because it seems to me that later on, neither I nor anyone else will be interested in the musings of a 13-year-old girl." Anne Frank. See between the lines.